Welcome, welcome everyone to Send Forth Your Word Radio Ministry. I'm excited to be here on the air again in 2019. We're in September, everyone. The year is almost over, but I thank God for being able to come back on the air. Praise God. To share another word with you, our friends and listeners, today, and it's on the spirit of accuracy. I am excited, my friend. I know I've been away for some time, and I am going to try to bring more messages to Send Forth Your Word Radio Ministry. And I want you, our first-time listeners here, to tune in or to archive our messages that we have and enjoy the Word of God in your life today. Today I'm so excited about this message, my friend, because it is a timely message. And I really want you to enjoy it, to share it, to like it. Also, I want to invite those who are wanting prayer or would like to send a testimony, feel free to send your testimony to our email at sendforthyourword@gmail.com. I would love to get started with this message, but before I go in the studio and get started on today's topic, I want to let you know that I love you all, those who have been tuning in, who's been staying attached and been archiving our shows. I really want to thank you for coming back to Send Forth Your Word. So after this break in music, I am going to come with the word today, and I hope you stay tuned. Praise God, everyone. I'm back here on the air. Sister Keisha here on Send Forth Your Word Radio Ministry. And I am excited to be here today in September. Again, the year is moving forward. But before it ends, I want to bring several messages to Send Forth Your Word. I want to let you know it has been a trying season, but the Lord has been faithful. He's been just, he's been loving, and he's brought me through it, and I'm just so thankful to be able to be back here on the air to share with you, our friends and listeners. And today we're going to be studying the Word of God from the book of Psalms, chapter 34, and I am going to be using the King James Version. Before we go into the Word of God, I'd like to start with prayer. And again, if you are a new listener here on Send Forth Your Word, you have not received the Lord as your Lord and Savior. We pray that you would use our sinner's prayer on the front page of this show, and you would recite that prayer, and you would let the Lord thy God become the Lord of your life. So, before we go into the message, our friends and listeners, we want to start every one of our sessions off in prayer. If you would like, please bow your head and close your eyes, and let's go before the throne of grace. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for being the God who sits high and looks low, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who knows all and sees all and knows how to handle all. We thank you, Lord, for loving us, for caring for us, for moving all of the things that have been trying to hinder us out of our pathway, and for blessing us and restoring our lives with greatness and love and your mercy. We pray that, Father God, all those who will hear this voice, this message under the sound of my voice, will be healed and set free and delivered by the spirit of accuracy. We thank you, Lord, for being all that you are, and we love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. So there we are, back into the book of Psalms. Okay. And today I want those who are following with me, I would like that you get your word, whether you're using your iPad, your smartphone, or your Bible, to follow along with me, because I believe the psalmist David has revealed and uncovered some true principles that we can use in our day-to-day life and begin to see the accuracy of the Lord operate in our life. You know, we don't have to always depend so much on everyone that we know here in the physical. We can trust that the Lord thy God has hidden in his word the spirit of accuracy, so that we, my friends, will understand that this is what God expects of us as his people. And those who are out there teaching the word of God to his flock and to his sheep. So I feel really like the Lord was showing me that in this last days, a lot of people are being misled, and they're turning away from their first love because they believe the lies of the enemy. And they have set before religious leaders, and they've heard the gospel be explained and displayed to them in different ways. And they have fallen off because of the spirit of accuracy. And what God is saying, my friend, he wants us, to be clear that his word is forever. It doesn't change. And if you are having a problem understanding his word, you must go to the Lord and ask him for his knowledge and his wisdom. The Bible says that if a man lacks wisdom, let him ask for it. So we pray that you will take God's word not in vain, and that you won't fall away because of the things that men will do to you, but you will fear the Lord and let him renew you, as the psalmist David has said. I'm going to start reading today the scripture, and I want to deliver it in different segments, okay? So as I read, you might find that I am reading and then I'm talking. It's my way of trying to explain what God has given to me to share with you, our friends and listeners. So I'm going to start with Psalms chapter 34. And for those who are tuning in right now, you haven't missed much, but we are getting ready to go into Psalms chapter 34. It says, verse 1, a Psalms of David, when he changed his behavior before Aspen, who drove him away, and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 2 says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Praise God. Oh, magnify, verse 3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Verse 4 says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. Verse 5 says, they look unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Verse 6 says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I want to stop there, and I want to get in here, and I want to speak to you in regards to the Psalms. One of the things that David was trying to share with us in this and through the Psalms is that we must humble ourselves unto the Lord thy God. It does us nothing to boast from what man says, but he states here in the psalmist that his soul shall make her boast into the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Are you humble, my friend? Are you boasting in the Lord? Or are you boasting in man? David also lets us read that he will magnify the Lord, and he invites you to magnify the Lord with him. He said, I will exalt his name. And he asks you, my friend, to exalt his name together with him. Also, he tells you how he was able to be delivered from all of his fears. He sought the Lord, not man, not your friends, not your church, but he sought the Lord. And he says this, and he heard me, praise God. Why you are not getting your prayers through is because you must seek the Lord thy God for yourself, my friend, so that he may hear you and deliver you from all of your fears. Praise God. We have to make time for the Lord. We have to spend that quality time in God so that the Lord can hear our prayers, our concerns, and that he may have the opportunity to deliver us from those fears and troubles. And then David says in verse 5, they that look unto him were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Praise God. When you look unto the Lord, you will not be ashamed. I can testify to that because the Lord is faithful to his people and to the concerns and the cries unto his righteous people. In verse 6 says, the poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Who are out there that's in trouble today? And you need the Lord to pull you and to save you out of your troubles. This poor man cried, my friend. And the Bible says that the Lord heard him. Don't be too prideful to cry out to the Lord in this day and time. Don't turn away from the Lord and say, well, there's nothing that can be done for my situation, because there is, if we follow along with this scripture. Verse 7, which is one of my favorite scriptures that I love to pray, it says, the angel of the Lord encamped it round about them that fear him and delivereth them. That's an awesome scripture for me, because many times we're going to be going through something, and sometimes the ideal when we're in a experience or a season where things are coming at us in a way where we least expect it, the first thing that always tries to encamp is fear. Fear that you will not succeed. Fear that you cannot overcome this. Fear that this thing will overtake you. And in some cases, the fear will try to convince you that the Lord is not with you. But I want to remind you, my friend, that in verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. That's where your fear needs to be, praise God. And it says, and he delivereth them, praise God. So God wants you to fear him. Your fears may seem as real as you are, but your fear must be in the Lord. And I'll tell you as we continue why your fear must be in the Lord, okay? The good thing about it is that Psalms is to show us how we are going to get delivered from our troubles. Verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Do you trust God? Are you trusting God, my friend? Saints out there, are you really trusting God? Or are your trust placed in man? And every time you get comfortable with trusting someone, they always hurt you. See, that's why as a human being, we cannot put our trust in anyone other than God. We may have people we love and we respect and we hold them on a higher esteem because we have watched them work and be faithful at areas in our development with them. But there is only one God. Remind you that God is the one that you should be trusting in. See, I try really hard to enjoy the people that God has blessed in my life, but brought in my life, you know. And I really appreciate their words of wisdom. And I enjoy our relationships in years and years of going through and coming out and rejoicing together. But my trust must be in the Lord. And I thank God that he has been able to show me that if I'm going to be successful in the things of God, I must learn to trust in him. Praise God. Verse 9 says, "Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him." See, the reason why, friends, that we must fear the Lord, because it's a requirement from God. We can't say we love God, and if we don't have the right kind of fear for the Lord, the fear and reverence for God, how will we respect him and his laws? See, when we fear the Lord, we will remind ourselves not to get out of order with God, because we respect him and we love him and we want him to be the center of our joy and the center of the blessing. Many people I hear all the time, "Lord, bless me. I need this. I need that. I need you to help me." But they don't make him the center of the blessing. Praise God. They're so busy trying to get something instead of trying to give something back to the one who gave it to them. And then they miss the true reason why God has blessed their lives. And they are more quicker to return to their past sin after they get their blessing, because they have not made him the center of the blessing. Praise God. So here the Lord wants us to recognize by his instruction, "Oh, fear the Lord." This is what David is trying to let us know. You can do nothing for God if you don't fear him. He says, "Ye his saints." He's talking to the child and the believer, the saints of Christ. If you don't fear the Lord, how can you be considered a saint of God? Okay? And it says, "For there is no want to them that fear him." You will not want anything when you fear God. I know this for a fact, my friend. The Lord will answer your prayers and he will make it speedily. I mean, it will be a little bit alarming to you, because you will be like, "Lord, are you here all, you that close?" I thank God, because God has answered all of my prayers, and the ones that are still manifesting slowly but surely, I'm telling you, I believe I have them, and it doesn't take a long period of time to see him begin to manifest those prayers or those blessings into my life. When I pray to the Lord, I mean, it comes to pass quickly, my friend. You know, there is things, you know, so I can be clear with you that I do pray, and the Lord takes his time to develop and answer and deliver those prayers. But I began to see more of my prayers being answered because I'm trying to apply his word into my life. And the more I do that, those prayers become unfold. See, I believe here on Send Forth, why we came originally, and the Lord has brought me here. I started off with my co-hosts, and just so I can give you a little bit. But the Lord had really called me to Send Forth Your Word. And I believe the reason why the Lord wanted me here, because he wanted us to give an accurate word of knowledge to his people. He knows that my desire is that I boast in him, not in man. If anybody knows me, they will tell you, "She will not boast in man." I've never been a person who's put a lot of faith in people. I believe that people can help me and they can minister to me and they can move me for different areas that the Lord may be using them to do. But I don't put my boast in man. I truly believe that it's all unto him, that he is He is the one that has delivered me from it all. I do thank those who have prayed for me through my times of trouble, through my hardships, through my falls and failures. But I tell you this, I thank God more because God is the one that helped me through it all. He's the one who was there with me on my sick bed in my times of trouble, like the psalmist David has said today. So, if I can do anything, I would love to encourage you to put your trust in Him. And I know various people who are finding it hard to trust the Lord because of all the hurt and all of the pain you've experienced. But I'm telling you, He is the same God as yesterday, today, and forevermore. But you must trust Him. You must seek Him. These are requirements that David is giving us. If you don't seek the Lord, how can you hear Him? How can you be delivered from your troubles? And this is what we're going to follow through. If you're just tuning in, I am reading from the book of Psalms. I am at the 34th chapter, and I am at verse 10. Verse 10 says, "The young lion do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Praise God. And again, like I said, you know, if you are seeking the Lord and if you are serving God with all your heart and your soul and your heart and your mind, my friend, the Lord will bless your life. He will bring to pass those things that you once had prayed for, and He will also make sure that He do it greater than what you could have ever expected. So I believe the key thing is that we must seek Him. We must seek Him. We cannot fall away because of all the hurt and the pain. We must get up. We must, though we fall, like the song had said, we must get up. And we cannot allow ourselves to stay in the state of falling. And that's where a lot of people are. They don't want to seek God because they are in a fallen state. And they recognize that they fell and they feel like a failure. But you are a failure if you stay in that state because you can't get up until you decide to trust Him once again. We all fall down, but we must get up, honey. There is times in all of our lives that we're not so proud at the choices and the decisions that were made for us or that we made ourselves. But once we find the way out and it's through God's word and He begins to strengthen us, it's time to get up from the fall. Verse 11 says, "Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." See, that's what I believe too. That many children, people who are even in our households, the reason why parenting skills have fallen to a low is because parents don't teach their children to fear the Lord. And when you don't teach your children, my friend, to fear the Lord, your children won't fear you. And this right here, Psalm is saying, "Come ye children." He's speaking to God's people. "Hearken unto me, listen to me, please. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Verse 12 says, "What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good. If you want to see a desirable life and you want to live many days, you, my friend, must fear the Lord. It has benefits in fearing the Lord. Verse 13 says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking lies. You must really watch what you're saying to others and watch how you spread yourself thin, because we are going to be accountable for what we say. And we need to rest in the Lord and know that we spoke the truth and we've given the accuracy of God's word. So if you're teaching your people and your flock and you're going out there and you're spreading the gospel and you're talking to the nations and you're praying for people, you must not live a life of lies. You have to be able to speak the truth, because this is what David is saying to us. And he's telling us we can't be speaking one moment the word of the Lord and then the next moment trying to curse people, their lives. There's many of you out there, that's where you're falling short at. One minute you're talking good of your brother or sister, the next minute you're trying to tear down them. Praise God. That's not healthy for any relationship. And God is trying to warn you, my friend, is that you must speak the truth. Depart, verse 14 says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So if you are out there, you've been entangled in evil, if you've gotten yourself festered or dirty in sin, the Bible is warning you. This scripture, David is saying, depart from your evil and do good. It's not too late to turn your situation around, my friend. It's not too late to put the evils of your life down and begin to do good and to seek peace and pursue it. Verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. I've told people for years and years, the people of God are the righteous. Hallelujah. The Lord says in this scripture, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Lord, I have cried out to the Lord, and the Lord has heard me. And I believe that if you are the righteous, you are God's people. Verse 16 says, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. So those who are doing you wrong, those who are still way knee deep, or even further into their sin and just will not surrender their soul, their life to the Lord. The Lord says here, this is what I'm going to do to them. I'm going to take those and their remembrance. I'm going to remove and cut them off from this earth, you know. Verse 17 says, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and deliver them out of all of their troubles. You know, I am so grateful that I have a Savior that can deliver me from them all. It does not do you any good to put your trust in men. Yeah, they may be able to bless your life with money. They may be able to pay your way through something that you've been going through. And they may be able to be there to hear your cries. But this God that I'm talking about, this Lord that David is speaking of, is the Lord that can deliver you from all of your troubles. Not from some, not from, you know, the ones that he, you know, just says, oh, I'm just going to do this much. No, God does it all. I love that about him. He will bring you through it all. And I thank God for being so great in that area of my life. you know, because I have had my fair share of troubles, and it has been tough, my friend. I'm not going to sit here and make it seem like just because you hear me here on Send Forth that I don't go through things and that people don't turn on me and change up and try to beguile me and lie on me and try to surface things that is not of God. But God has delivered me from all of my troubles. And as I continue to seek the Lord, He will continue to be the God of deliverance. The verse 18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." You know, some people, you know, are suffering deeper than others. They have a broken heart. And trust me, again, I've had many of times people have broke my heart and have caused me to really doubt my decision to let them in my life, you know. And, you know, the Lord came in, and it was over a period of time. If I keep it real, you know, God began to remove the broken particles that were broken in my heart. And I believe sometimes those particles are the things that are holding us back from coming more unto the Lord. You know, every time we want to trust God, we get stuck with that broken particle. We get stuck. And it's sharp, you know. And though we may reach out for the Lord to help us and to trust Him, we just can't seem to move past the pain. So here my friend David is trying to give us some idea of a person who is suffering a broken heart, you know, and how the Lord will reach down and He will save that contrite spirit. You know, sometimes we are just in a place where we need deliverance from the Lord in a way where man cannot intervene on our behalf. So the Lord is saying, you know, I get you. I see where you've been broken. I see where your heart has been led astray. But I have the power to bring you back from that pain. Praise God. Verse 19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." And that's what I'm saying, you know. I've been through a lot. I've had seen a lot, and I've heard a lot, but I've also been delivered out of them all. My troubles, my pain in my past and in my present, the Lord has been gracious and faithful and has come through every time that I needed Him. And I just love Him so much because I have never had someone cared about me like that. I don't care how much people have been by my side and, you know, honored me and blessed my life, but they're not God to me. And I thank God for giving that to me, like this psalmist is saying to us today. Verse 20 says, "He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken," you know. And so when you're going through an affliction moment in your life where the enemy has attacked you or the Lord has allowed you to go through a wilderness experience, you know, God lets us know in this scripture that many are going to be the afflictions of the righteous. And then he reminds you, "But I will deliver you out of them all." So don't get worried. Don't get as if this is uncommon unto man for the righteous to be afflicted. You know, because I'm going to keep every one of your bones, and not anything that was sent to break you is going to be broken in your life. but you may experience some afflictions. And the reason why I want to touch on this, because I've seen a lot of people in the body of Christ fall away because of their afflictions. And, you know, David is trying to help us realize that you're going to have many afflictions if you are considered a righteous person. You know, people have said, you know, you look like you've been through so much. You know, you're a good person. And, you know, if anyone, and I tell them, don't say that I'm a good person. I believe that I have the love of Christ in my life. But the Bible says there's no one good but God. Praise God. But I understand where they're coming from, friend. I understand what they're trying to say to me. But I had to realize that because I was righteous, that is why I suffered many afflictions. See, some people are not suffering anything. And what you, my friend, are getting all everything twisted because the enemy got your eye focused on someone that is his kid, his person, his agent, his servant. And he got you thinking that they're blessed and that they're considered righteous. And it's not so. In some cases, we go through different seasons in our lives. But there is a way to see that if we are considered righteous and before the Lord, the reason why our afflictions are going to be many, because the enemy is going to be after your life, okay? He doesn't want you to serve God, my friend. He doesn't want you to do what God wants you to do for him. He doesn't want you to spread the word of God. So he is going to try to come at you from different angles. And the Bible here encourages you to recognize that I understand that you are under many afflictions, praise God. But if you are righteous, I'm going to deliver you from them all. And also verse 20, as I just read, it says, and he keepeth all his bones, not one of them will be broken. And God will make sure that you be intact, even in after the affliction. Verse 21 says, evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolated or destroyed. So, my friend here, you know, there is some very wicked people, and this is a very evil day. And God has reminded us that he recognizes that there is going to be some people that are going to hate you for being righteous and for trying to do well, you know. And he recognized you're going to have some haters out there when you're trying to do what God is saying to. But guess what? He says, I'm going to slay them. I'm going to remove them. I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to cause them to be cut off like we read before. I'm going to cut the remembrance off of them in this earth. And that's deep, my friend. That is very deep. When the Lord is saying he's getting ready, he is going to, I'm telling you, get ready and get out the way. Because God is not playing with the wicked. And he is going to bring an end to this foolishness that has come upon this earth. Verse 22, praise God, says, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants. And none of them that trust in him shall be desolated. So I want to tell you, you know, this scripture right here, if this does not encourage your soul, my friend, I don't know what will. I don't know, but I do know that David has unraveled the mystery, and he's done it by the spirit of accuracy. He has went before us today, and he has said, this is what has made my life be a success. This is what has helped me in my time of need. This is this word, this God, this Lord that I serve has heard me in my despair and has chose to deliver me from all of my fears and my troubles and my pains. And so I want you to know, if you need a Lord, you need God, you need the Lord thy God, or you need the Spirit of the Lord, praise God, then you can rest assured that he will hear you. And if you are his righteous people, he will deliver you. That is definitely a promise. Again, like I said, the righteous is God's people. And the reason why they are considered righteous in God's eyesight is because they fear him. Praise God. I was also wanting to share this story also. When David was running from Saul the second time, you know, and he went out to the wilderness or up on the hill as it spoke, and you know, he had been running from Saul because Saul was after David's life, okay? And David, even though he knew that the Lord was with him, but he wasn't a fool. He wasn't a fool, my friend. And in some of us, we will have a Saul in our life, and we will play around with Saul until it gets too critical. And see, we have to know when to let the Lord lead us in a direction so that we may stay safe while we're going through a certain trial or issue in our life. And, you know, David is trying to help us recognize today, you know, that, you know, we have to learn that when God is in control of our lives, you know, we're going, you know, we have to understand that we're going to have some times where we're going to go through life and it's going to be very scary. But we have to be reminded that God is still in control. And if we are using his word and applying that word in our life and are walking in the things of God and not lying and being misled by every wind and doctrine because it sounds good, but we're still choosing to go to the word of God and rightly divide that word, we will be saved, praise God. And here, quickly before I leave the day, David speaks about his experience with Abishai and how, you know, David and Abishai, you know, had come together and they began to put a plan together because David recognized that Saul was something he was going to have to deal with, whether he liked it or not. The fear of dying, of course, was upon him. But the fact that God allowed David to regain his strength in him, and that he also showed him that, you know, I'm going to help you, David, because Saul is not a man that will give up. But I'm going to help you in a way where he will never forget who's on your side, praise God. And so, if you have your Bible, you can go to 1 Samuel, chapter 26. And I'm just going to briefly read a portion of this story. And I'm going to start at verse 7, which says, if you're following along, I'm in 1 Samuel chapter 26, and I'm going to read from the New King James Version. It says in verse 7, says, so David and Abishai came to the people by night, and there Saul lay sleeping within the camp, with his spear struck in the ground by his head. And Abner and the people laid all around him. Then Abishai said to David, God has delivered your enemy and to your hand this day. Now therefore, please let me strike him at once with the spear right to the earth, and I will not have to strike him a second time. Verse 9 says, But David said to Abishai, Do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hands against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? Verse 10 says, David said, Furthermore, as the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall go out to battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should strike out my hand against the Lord anointed, but please take now the spear and the jugs of water that are by his head, and let us go. So David took the spears and the jugs of water by Saul's head, and they got away. Praise God. And no man saw or knew it or awoke, for they were all asleep because a deep sleep from the Lord had fell upon them. Praise God. And as we go into this story, you know, I'm just going to make a point, you know, here. The Lord knew that David needed to be delivered from this problem, you know, but he knew that David had trusted him. But see, sometimes we are attached to Abishai. We have the voice of Abishai in our heads and in our ears, among us, among our peers. And that can be very crucial to our kingships, or our blessings, or our ministries, when we are listening to the voice of Abishai. And so what God had began to show me in this scripture is that David could have chose to kill Saul and to have the blood of Saul on his hands, where he would have had to go into his kingship and his reign with the guilt of killing this man for that reign. Or David could choose to trust God and to know, like he said, as the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall go to battle and perish. And that is what sometime, my friend, we have to see in God when we're among those who are trying to come up against us, those who are trying to cause us to perish, those who are trying to snare our footsteps. We have to trust that God will take this in his own hands, in his own timing. And we have to think like David and know that even though we could do what we want to do to that person, that we will not be able to escape that guilt of harming that person, because God has allowed that person, whether good or bad, to be in that position. And sometimes I hear people, and I've said it myself, Lord, why did you let them get that position? Because they are not using that position in the right way. But the Lord began to show me, just because you don't like what's going on, it's not going to change that I allow that person to be placed there. What I need you to do is to do the right thing by me, and I will handle them in my timing. And I'm glad that David was able to point that out, because see, the voice of Abishai was in his ear and trying to get David to be caught up in a snare, and he didn't recognize that he was being used by the devil to convince David that he could kill him and all of his problems would be over. But see, David knew the blessing of the Lord that was on his life, and he was not willing to risk that blessing just so he can have Saul's throne. And see, that's where we fall short sometimes. We want God to just wipe out people, but God is wanting to speak to them because he's always trying to save us. He's always trying to deliver us. He's always trying to bring us back from where we have once found ourselves. And Saul knew that he was in the wrong. He knew that he had been going after David because of his own insecurities, and that he was afraid that people would love David and they would forget him. Praise God. And so what God had to do was to show that David was a man of integrity in the time when most people would have chose to kill their enemy. Sometimes we are forced, our backs may be up against the wall, and people may put us in bad places and spread it awful lies and have disturbed our peace in a way that we would rather just see them be removed and cut off, like we spoke about earlier, from the earth sooner than later. But David reminds us that God will handle it in his own timing, my friend, and that God knows how to deal with our enemies. When he deals with them, they have been dealt with. So in this story, as it begins to end, and I'm going to let you read it for yourself so it can encourage you if you are going through a time and a season where you have an enemy on your back, or you going through all kinds of trials and tribulations, and all of a sudden, you know, you just feel like there's no way out, you know, that, you know, I put my trust in the Lord and I can't see him bring me out of this. But honey, David was brought out of this problem, you know. The Lord had allowed David to get the upper hand over Saul, and Saul had to recognize that time had ran out for him, okay? And what Saul said is this to David in verse 21, and we are still in 1 Samuel chapter 26. It says, verse 21, I'm reading, it says, "Then Saul said, 'I have sinned, return my son David, for I will harm you no more, because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Indeed, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly.'" God will have your enemies, my friend, to come and be at peace with you, because they will recognize that the Lord has allowed you to let them live. Praise God. You allow you to find favor with them, even though they were your enemies. He will allow you to let them off the hook, praise God, because of the stuff they've done to you, that you could have done some things to them, but they will finally come to an end with themselves, worrying about what others are going to think if they forgive you, after they didn't put your name out there and trashed you and thrown you out there like you was a torn bag or so. But the Lord basically had come to Saul. His senses came at this point where David was able to escape the blood on his hands, praise God. And he said himself, "I've sinned. Return my son David, for I will not harm you anymore." Sometimes we have to turn away and just say, "God, you will do it in your own time. You will do it in your own way." And when we begin to allow the Lord to have reign over us, we will experience great joy and great peace, and we can walk as a free man or woman in the things of God. You know, David, he pleased God because he went out his way to prove that God could deliver them from all of his troubles. This man was in trouble. David was in trouble. He knew something. He was about to be killed by Saul. Saul had gathered all his armies because he was serious about harming David's life. But David had gotten the upper hand because he had the favor of the Lord on him. The Lord caused all those army, those people to fall under a deep sleep, praise God. And David was able to go into the camp where they were at, waiting to overtake him when they would find him. They knew he was there, but they were waiting to take his very life. And when the shoe was put on the other foot, David was willing to let Saul live, even though he could have killed him, by the voice of Abishai, by the encouragement of Abishai. But David knew something greater than Abishai knew. He knew that he would have to suffer for what he'd done. And see, that's the thing. Is it worth your suffering if you do wrong to someone that has done you wrong? Or should you just let them off the hook and let the Lord deal with their spirit and their soul? And like he did Saul right here in verse 21, he made it clear to Saul that, you know, I could have allowed David, hallelujah, you know. It says in verse 27, and I'm going to back up and read this part. It's in verse 17. It says, then Saul knew David's voice and said, it is your voice, my son David. David said, it is your voice, my lord, O king. And he said, why does my lord thus pursue his servant? For what have I done, or what evil is in my hand? Verse 19 says, now therefore, please let my lord the king hear the word of his servant. If the Lord has stirred you up against me, let him accept an offering. But if not, it is the children of men. May they be cursed before the Lord, for they have driven me out of this day from sharing in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, go serve other gods. Verse 20 says, so now do not let my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord, for the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one hunts a partridge in the mountain. So, you know, I want, again, like I said, you have to read the story. It's an awesome story. It's the story of integrity. But what I really will say that stood out to me, and why I believe God was trying to bring me to the scripture, because he said, it's the voice of Abishai that's kept my people in bondage in their time of victory. Praise God. It has caused them to block the victory and caused them to have to walk around in shame, even though they have gained access and they have began to beguile their enemies and to take down those who've done them evil. But they have not hearkened unto the voice of the Lord thy God. They have not trusted me, and they have not followed David's instructions. So the Lord is saying, are you listening to the voice of David, or are you listening to the voice of Abishai? I urge you, my friend, if you are here today on Send Forth Your Word, you're listening in, tuning in, are you really trusting in the Lord? Are you really letting the Lord be Lord of your life? Or are you following the voice of Abishai? Are you following the voice of the enemy? Are you being captive and held captive because you've chose to do what Abishai has suggested? And now the blood is on your hands. I pray, Lord, I pray, friends and listeners, that you would take this message serious and you would repent today and ask the Lord to deliver you from all your trouble, all your pain, and all your past mistakes. Sometime we have to be freed from the voice of Abishai so that we may walk and to the blessings of David. Praise God. I want to thank you, friends and listeners here on Send Forth Your Word Radio Ministry. I want to thank you for tuning in today and sharing with me and following through the scriptures with me today here on Send Forth. If you are new again to Send Forth, I pray that all is well with you. I pray that you've enjoyed this message, and I pray that you be set free. I pray that if you need our prayers, if you would like to send me an email, you may definitely send it to our email. It is on the front page, as well as I will give it to you at sendforthyourword@gmail.com. If you would like to share a testimony, I urge you to send your testimonies to our email as well. Also, I want to let you know I will be bringing more messages to Send Forth Your Word. It has been some changes here, and I want to get back to sharing God's Word with His people. The righteous, those who love and fear Him, is who the Lord shall deliver them from them all. I thank you so much for staying tuning, and I pray that you will come back and hear what the Lord thy God has to say here on Send Forth Your Word. And I pray that all is well. Keep your head up, my friend, and let the Lord thy God be with you at all times. Praise God.